Today on Real Life Radio.
Transubstantiation is not a biblical doctrine. It is an invented doctrine. And many of you have come from a church that teaches otherwise. I want you to know right now that that's not in the scripture. And you're going to need to choose right now between the traditions of men and the teachings of God.
This is Real Life. Welcome to Real Life Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. In a time when our culture is increasingly hostile to the teachings of the Bible and the traditional values that they impart, Christians face the challenge of being labeled intolerant and offensive and homophobic. How can we approach controversial topics with both reason and tact? In the book called Correct, Not Politically Correct, author Frank Turek tackles the sensitive topics of same-sex marriage and transgenderism, addressing common arguments about equal rights, discrimination, tolerance, and being born a certain way. Now, this powerful and insightful book firmly yet respectfully defends biblical truth about sexual identity, marriage, and gender. Don't bury your head in the sand, but learn to stand with a biblical worldview. Correct, Not Politically Correct by Dr. Frank Turek is available for a gift of any amount at jackhibbs.com or call 877-777-2346. Order your copy of Correct, Not Politically Correct today. On today's edition of Real Life Radio, Pastor Jack continues his series now called 1 Corinthians with a message titled Being a Believer Part 2. 1 Corinthians was written by the Apostle Paul to the Church of God in Corinth and shares with us how to remain focused on the Lord in all that we do. So today, Pastor Jack teaches that we need to apply God's Word personally, to search our hearts and know that Jesus is real and that we remembered our Lord's forgiveness. Now, with his message called Being a Believer, Part 2, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
Can a Christian lose their salvation? Can a person not saved by the blood of Christ, make it to heaven? Listen, Hebrews 6, verse 4. Paul says, "For it is impossible for those who were once enlightened, illuminated, or informed of, having tasted the heavenly gift, and have become partakers of the Holy Spirit." You've seen, you've sensed the power of God and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the age to come. Quite frankly, ladies and gentlemen, verses 4 and 5 should happen to any person that walks into a godly church. Honestly. Now watch what happens. If they fall away, apostasia, depart from, to renew them again to repentance, that means it's impossible to renew them again to repentance. Why? Since they crucify again for themselves the Son of God and put him to open shame. What is he saying? Number one, this is the book written to the Hebrews. And he's speaking about those, listen, who come into the presence of God's people. Maybe you're here today. Maybe you sensed some sort of awakening to the worship. My, this is precious worship. And there's young people and old people together in the sanctuary worshiping God. Hands are being raised. I feel something going on here. And then the demeanor of people meeting one another. I sense that I'm safe here. Do you sense that you're safe here? Do you sense that you're okay? Do you sense that there's a bit of ability for you to relax? And then the word's coming out, and you don't like everything that you're hearing, but you know that it's true, and you're having to confront it as this message has begun and as it continues. There's emotions that are going on, up and down. You like this part, you might even get a tear at this part, or you might laugh at the other part, but something's going on. It's alive. And you're judging this, you're discerning this. You're sensing the power. You're hearing the word of God. You know that there's something different. And for you to even say, "I want Jesus in my life," not understanding what that means, I want this in my life. And then a day or two, a week or a year or 5 years goes by and you begin to say or think, you know what? I'm going to try something else now. Christianity was cool for a while, but now I'm going to try this instead. The word means that there's nothing left then for you to save you. If you walk away from that, there's nothing out there in Hinduism, Islam, or Buddhism, or Judaism that can save you. And what you're doing, you're going around looking for some sort of salvation. And by doing that, you're insulting the blood and the body of Christ. There's salvation nowhere else but through him. Very serious statement, very serious verse. The Bible says, if a person comes and doesn't eat, he only tastes of the salvation. He witnesses the power, but never has the power. That person was never a Christian to begin with, church. Here's the grave warning today. If you've been born again, the Bible says you can never be unborn again. The question is, are you born again? You can be a, quote, listen, believer in Jesus, but never, watch, never come to faith, hope, trust in him. You never are at ease with him. And that may manifest itself in works, legalism, I don't know, constant confessions to men. There's no victory in your life, no power. I'm going to read from the New Living Translation, which I don't usually read from, but it's very graphic. Luke chapter 8, verse 11 says, this is the meaning of the parable of the sower and the seed. The seed is God's word. The seed that fell on the hard path represents those who hear the message, but then the devil comes and steals it away and prevents them from believing and being saved. The rocky soil represents those who hear the message with joy, but like young plants in poor soil, their roots don't go very deep. They believe, what's it say? They believe for a while, but they wilt when the hot winds of testing blow, hardship, difficulty. The thorny ground represents those who hear and accept the message, but all too quickly the message is crowded out by the cares and riches and pleasures of this life, and so they never grow in maturity. But the good soil represents honest, good-hearted people who hear God's message, cling to it, and listen, steadily produce an increasing harvest. Only you can judge you regarding this. This is not a spectator service today. You can't point to anyone. You can't point to me. I cannot point to you. You must point to you this morning. You must turn your eyes inward and ask yourself, what kind of soil am I? When the word of God landed in my heart, when I heard it, did it ever change my life? You might be here today saying, well, I go to church every Easter and every Christmas. If you've gone twice a year, I want to ask you, have those two visits radically changed your life? Is your thinking different? Is your lifestyle different? If no, then your heart is one of those hearts where the word has not been able to take root. This is serious stuff. And only you can judge that. Look at verse 28 and 29. It says, but let a man examine himself. And so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats or drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning, not properly evaluating the Lord's body. The word examine here means this. It means to be tested or to be tried. It means to allow yourself to be reviewed. One commentator put it this way. It means to be cross-examined. I like that, huh? To be cross-examined, not discerning the Lord's body. Some have said it's the acid test, to be dipped, as it were, in acid, to see if it remains. And notice, it's for no one else to do in this world. Somebody will say, you can't judge me, brother. Only God knows my heart. That's right. Only God knows your heart and knows my heart, and that should cause you to shudder. God knows my heart. God knows my motive. Think of it. It's you and I. that God speaks to, listen, God doesn't speak to me about you. God speaks to me about me. And he says, Jack, this is what we need to fix today. Or Jack, this is what I want you to nurture and build up more of this. A Christian and only a Christian knows what it's like to be convicted on a regular basis. Are you a Christian today? You know what? I embrace conviction. When God says to my heart, Jack, you were rude, or you were cold, or you know what? You should have pulled over to that person with the flat tire, or whatever it was, or whatever it is. You know what I'm talking about? He speaks to you. He speaks to me. And he's very kind and gentle, yes, but he's also very firm and loving. And I've shared this with you guys before. It's very personal for me. God showed me this personally. I didn't read it in the book anywhere. The world, people, Satan comes down on you. He comes like this. And the world and even friends might come down on you like this. But when God disciplines us, he goes like this. He spanks us this way. And every time I've been spanked by the Lord, he catches me right in the tukish, if you're... And when he spanks me right on the bottom, what's the natural momentum? Every time he catches me in the seat of learning, I'm lifted upward. He never crushes you. He'll always spank his children upward. And that's a serious thing. That's a great thing. It's a wonderful thing. It's a serious thing. I want to be disciplined by my God. Why? Because he knows exactly how I should be. I'm really his child. He doesn't go around spanking kids that aren't his. He only spanks his kids. And you say, well, I don't know if I'm a child of God for sure. Well, I don't want to tell you to go do something stupid, but if you thought something stupid, he'll spank you. If you're getting away with something, don't think you're a Christian and you're like cruising along and nobody knows what you've been doing. And you're thinking, they don't know. They don't know nothing. I'm getting away with it. That's a high, high indicator that you don't even know God at all. You're probably not even a Christian. I can't believe you said that. I'll say it again if you want me to. Because the Bible says he disciplines all his children. And the Bible says if you're doing evil and you're not disciplined, then you're no child of his.
You're listening to Real Life with Pastor Jack Hibbs. You know, to hear more episodes and maybe catch up in the series, just go to jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. And for now, let's get back to our teaching. Once again, here's Pastor Jack.
The Bible tells us in Galatians 2:20 that you and I have been crucified with Christ, and yet it's no longer I who live, but it's Christ who lives in me. He's in you living, if you're a believer. You know what that feels like? You Christians are weirdos. You talk about somebody living inside of you. Mm-hmm. And God talking to you. Yep. Now, the way our culture is going, they're going to start arresting us for being psychotic. Why? We hear voices. That's right. We hear his voice, huh? But that scripture in Galatians 2:20 says that the life that I live by faith. Sitting down, resting in him, in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. What a wonderful word that is. 2 Corinthians 13:5 says, examine yourselves as to whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Do you not know yourselves that Jesus Christ is in you, unless indeed you are disqualified? Examine. Apply the word of God personally. Church, listen, this is where I'm concerned for our age. That word to examine means that each and every one of us would take the Bible, we would take the Word of God, and we would personally ingest it, okay? We would be reading it, and we would apply it. We don't read it to read it. We don't read it even to get through our daily Bible reading. We would read it like this. We would read it, and we would allow it to speak to us so that when we're looking at the Word of God and we're reading it and it says thus and so, we ask ourselves, Lord, make this true in my life. Or may I never do that, Lord, or Jesus, give me that. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Yeah. You let it speak to you. Apply the word of God. If you're not doing this, you're only religious. You let it speak. It will speak to you. Galatians 5:22, apply the word of God and judge yourself. Galatians 5:22, speaking about the believer, Paul says to the church at Galatia, but the fruit of the Spirit is love. Are you loving? Does love come out of you? So how do I know if that's happening in my life? Love will come out of your life and you will be the first one to notice it. You'll be shocked. This is what's great. Even about the grumpiest person who becomes a believer, even in his or her grumpiness, the love will come out. And when it comes out, they'll go, after they express or say or do that act of love, they're the ones walking away saying, how did that just happen to me? How did that come out of my life? Thank you, God. God, don't let that happen again, huh? Right? Think about that. It's the fruit of the Spirit. Those orange trees outside the sanctuary. You've never once heard those orange trees groaning and grunting, trying to produce an orange. If you do, you do need a doctor. Those trees produce oranges because its leaves are looking toward the sun and its roots are deep in the ground. It's abiding in Christ, so to speak, and it's happening. When you walk with Jesus, the fruit comes out. Love, he says. Galatians 5:22, that verse goes on, and it's a great verse. Check it out. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there's no law, and those who have crucified, listen, those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires, for if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. That is an awesome verse. All of those things, you say, those are tremendous character qualities. I would love to have gentleness. Let's be honest, none of those things are normal to us. If you think those things, you were born with those things, you're a funny person, you are. These are divine things. You may say, I'm a very gentle person. The whole point is you may be a gentle person when it doesn't count. But when it's really hostile territory and you're still a gentle person, that's the work of God. Amen. It's the fruit of the Spirit. Apply the word of God. Judge yourself in light of Galatians 5:22 to 25. Next portion, Hebrews 10:14. Hebrews 10:14 to verse 17 says, for by one offering, Jesus Christ has perfected forever those, note it, who are being sanctified. Can you mark that down, everybody? You and I are being sanctified. You said, I thought I was sanctified. That's true. The word sanctified means you have been taken out of this world and set apart to God. That's happened to every one of us. You say, well, why does it say we're being sanctified? Because that's true too. The reason why God sees you already pure is because Christ, by his blood, has sanctified you. It's done. This verse means in this world, you're living a life that's changing from glory to glory. You're becoming more like Jesus every week, every day, little by little, little by little. You say, I don't believe it. Well, wait a minute. Watch this. But the Holy Spirit also witnesses to us. For after he had said before, this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days. Next line. Says the Lord, I will put my laws into their hearts and in their minds I will write them. Then he adds, their sins and their lawless deeds. Excuse me, what? I will remember no more. How awesome is that? You say, I don't want my sins to be remembered. Then come to Jesus. This is a come to Jesus meeting right here. Have his blood that he offered up through his body wash away your sins. God says, I see you, Susie. I see you sitting, resting. And God goes over to your account and he types on there, justified. Justified. And then the truth of that falls, as it were, by the power of the Spirit into your life. And you're still living here right now. And God works in your life and you're changing every day. I love it. I love it. It's wonderful. It's wonderful. We'll keep going here on this. Romans chapter 8, verse 14. For as many as are led, the word means carried, lifted, held up by the Holy Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption. I love that, adoption. You were picked by God, by whom we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Did you know that? The Holy Spirit is announcing to you and giving you the assurance, you're my child, you're my child. Listen, don't raise your hand right now. Don't raise your hand, you're almost done. Don't raise your hand. But do you know down deep inside, do you have the absolute deep, deep assurance that no matter what happens, period, you belong to him, that you belong to him? And listen, if you don't have that assurance, if you don't have that, look, we've got struggles, all of us, in all kinds of different areas. But down deep inside, do you know that you know that you know? And the Spirit of God is bearing witness with you that you belong to him. The Bible says in 1 John, these things have been written that you might know you have eternal life. If some bonehead comes up to you and says, well, you can't know if you're saved until after you're dead, you should probably look in the seat of their pants and see if there's a red tail sticking out, or lift up their hat and see if there's horns sticking out of their head. That's satanic doctrine. Well, you can't know if you're saved until you're dead. The Bible says once you're dead, you're judged. But the Bible says those who die in Christ have passed from judgment to life. Once you die, it's too late, man. The Bible says today is the day. Now is the day. Now is the time for salvation. Next, very quickly. Verses 30 to 32, we have an expectation of correction. We'll only spend a moment on this. Correction. For this reason, Paul says, many are weak, sick. Some have died, verse 30. Why? Because there's been those in the church body that either were joking around, goofing off regarding the body of Christ, and God judged them, or there were those who were not even believers at all, and God judged them. Verse 31, for if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened by the Lord that we may not be condemned with the world. That's pretty self-explanatory. Don't need to go much further on that. We have expectations of correction as a believer. I think we've talked on that. And then we end right here. We have expectation of unity. Look at verses 33 to 34. Therefore, my brethren, when you come together to eat, wait for one another. We have expectation of unity. Paul ends this portion by saying to the believers, come on, you guys. Let's do what Jesus would do. And I want you to just take a breath. I want you to just sit still. I want you to wait for a moment. I want you to think about you. Don't think about anything else. I want you to think about you, and I want you to ask yourself this question. Is the evidence overwhelming in your life that you're a Christian? Do people know you are by how you live? God said to all of us, he says it now, how wonderful it is and how pleasant when brothers live together in unity.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Life Radio, with his message called Being a Believer Part 2. We're glad you joined us today. You know, this message is part of Pastor Jack's series called 1 Corinthians. It's a series on the Corinthian church and the Apostle Paul's bold call for purity. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Life Radio.
Hey friends, as you well know, we've been getting together from time to time to pray, and we've had a topic each time. And today, right now, in this season, it's being thankful. Listen, we have to nurture a thankful heart. We have to discipline ourselves to be thankful. It means that in the midst of everything that's going on around us, we put our eyes on what is good. Let's be honest, not everything's bad. Not everything's on fire. Not everything is collapsing. There are things around your life and mine that are good, and we need to thank God for that. So let's do that very thing right now. Father, we thank you for what is good, what is happening. We thank you, Lord, that you have promised us that the righteous shall never be seen begging bread. Well, Lord, we know that we're righteous because of Jesus. We're thankful for that. We're thankful for the cross. We're thankful for the empty tomb, the resurrected Jesus.
And Lord, we're thankful in the midst of all of this world's drama that you're the God that is stable, unchanging, immovable, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Thank you, God, that we can tie our life and all that we represent, our emotions, our concerns, our anxieties, the issues of life, that we can come to you and give them to you. And we are so thankful for that. So, Lord, please find our hearts from this moment forward, exercising the discipline and the practice of being thankful. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen.
This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Life Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Life Radio.